All right, welcome to Thermal Exhaustport, your not-so-serious Star Wars Legion podcast. Right? Right,
yes.
Guys?
Yeah,
right. That is true.
We're not going to be serious, mm-hmm. And we're not going to talk about Star Wars movies the whole time?
No.
Nope.
No.
Promise? That's a promise in the first episode, yeah. In the first minute of the episode?
I can't say they'll never be brought up, but...
We probably can't. Yeah, I can't make that
We're
promise.
Only positive here.
We'll try to cut each other off if we start ranting.
All right. So as you can hear, there are four of us here. Yeah, like I said, we're going to be a podcast that's dedicated to Legion. However, we're not going to take things seriously. Well,
I mean, we are.
We are.
Yeah.
We're not going to take ourselves too seriously.
Right. Well, yeah. We definitely aren't going to take ourselves seriously because, if you ever meet us, you'll realize why. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about Star Wars Legion in its entirety. We'll go through all the stuff. And we're going to have fairly in-depth conversations and everything we can about Legion. While cracking shitty jokes about things that we find funny.
Yeah.
Sounds very true.
Yeah. All right. So that's all reasonable. So let's get into who's with me, because you hear three other voices. Myself, I'm Rick. I'm your host. I'm the one that herds cats. And as you may hear upstairs, we have a herd of people with us. We are actually at an away-cation. It's not a staycation. It's an awaycation or a vacation.
It's
a game board weekend, so we've been playing a lot of Legion and a lot of board games. Mm-hmm. Kurt just played 17 hours of Star Wars Legion.
I did not. What?
It wasn't 17 hours. It just felt like 17 hours to everyone else.
That's because you were losing.
I wasn't playing. No, I was winning. I wasn't playing. It's a mark for everyone else.
What?
And no, it's fine. You like the game. It's good.
You and I played Legion. Those are the only games of Legion I played.
I meant Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
That would make more sense. Yes,
we didn't play 17 hours of Legion yet. But
and
we
only
there.
Played like 6 hours of Twilight Imperium.
Fair. Yeah. We've been playing a lot of star-based games for some reason.
Yes, we have. Yeah, well, I think we're all kind of in a sci-fi mood.
Mm-hmm. So. Apparently, it's been the sci-fi weekend. So, there's 14 fellows at a cabin. We're all sleeping in our own beds. Just disclaimering that.
Yep. Nope. Miles and Dale are sleeping in the same bed.
Okay. Sorry, Miles and Dales, if you ever listen to this, you're not gonna. We're calling you out. All right.
So well, that was quick.
Yeah. So we're gonna go. Let's introduce everybody for real, other than the people that you may hear in the background. Mm-hmm. We apologize for that. We can't control their drunken buffoonery upstairs, or drunkenness. I don't just drunkenness. Whatever.
Yeah.
So on my right, because we're actually in the same room, is Kevin.
Hello,
Kevin. What did you pick up? What are you playing for this game, or what are
for,
you
for Legion, yeah. or just in general?
Well, you can't, not, we're not talking about picking up women, so
that's not a game.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it is. It's a huge game. I mean,
okay,
the men never win.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Or I picked up. I mean, I'm like you guys. I'm a crazy Star Wars fan. So as soon as we saw the miniature war games we usually get into, the second we saw Star Wars miniatures, it was over. Despite 6 months of trying desperately not to buy into the system.
Agreed.
The second we saw the models and Eric, who buys everything when it first comes out, opened the box up at our gaming club, it was over again.
Yep.
And I immediately had $400 out of my bank account within 17 hours.
Yeah.
So, I'm more than all in.
And I would say that most of us, we're all miniature gamers, so that's the first thing we probably should caveat.
Yep.
But so that was, we all have plenty of miniature games we play, so
definitely.
We were all kind of trying to like not...
Add one more to
we
the
didn't
list
need
of games
to get another
we were
game,
playing.
But
yep.
And you're like, oh, it's
but
Star
it's
Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah, you're like, all right, fine. Yeah,
which I think was confirmed even worse the second we saw like painted ones on the table.
Oh,
as
soon
as we started rolling them off the assembly line and they hit that first gaming mat, we all looked at each other. It was over.
Yeah.
We all realized the acceptance was there that it was our money was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. No, that's a given. So, yeah. To his right is Kurt. Wait, we got to go back. Did you say what faction you're focusing on?
Because we wanted to keep things even, I decided to go Imperial since you guys are doing your own thing. But I will most likely buy everything they make because I'm a fool.
It's disposable income.
Yeah.
This one.
I don't have kids yet, so that's where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. To his right now is Kurt.
Hello. So I guess follow up on his point, I do have kids, so part of what I chose to go with was the Imperials, partly because I think they're going to paint up a lot easier, being mostly white and a little bit of black highlights and such, so it'll be a less impact on my limited time for painting and other hobbying aspects of the game. But certainly, being a huge Star Wars fan, I plan on spending way more than I should buying all the models they put out for it. So,
right.
You know, again, I've been, as Rick mentioned, playing for miniature games for over a decade. And I've been playing Star Wars miniature games almost the entire time. I've had the old Star Wars miniatures collectible ones, the pre-painted plastics. I've played X-Wing. I play Imperial Assault. So it's all, it was too hard to pass up when this came out.
Not Armada yet.
Those ships look beautiful,
they
though.
They are beautiful.
It's going to be, it's so close.
Yeah, it was
it's
close.
It's so close. But I'm sure it'll come some point.
To come full circle now to Eric on my left, or to Kurt's right. It makes for great radio, and we can tell them where everybody is, right?
Yes, they can picture us in,
around
the table.
In a circle, staring at each other's faces, because it's fun to stare at each other.
Wow.
So, Eric, what are you playing?
Oh, greetings.
Or why are you playing?
Greetings. I'm playing the Rebels. I basically decided the Rebels because I realized that even though I do not have kids, I play way too many games, so I can only do one faction. And I decided to do the one that I actually get aliens in it.
Really, you actually picked it because of the aliens.
I like the aliens in Star Wars, especially the Duros, which is the one model that came out the Trooper box.
The one alien they've made so far.
Yeah, so far.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but besides that, I've been like the other guys. I've been playing miniature games for close to a decade now, and also other Star Wars games too.
Yeah, you're probably more into FFG games than we are, for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
My bank account says otherwise. But.
Well, that's any game, though, right? Like, it doesn't matter which game it is. They're all kind of a drain when you start looking at it. At least they're not. It's not like cardboard crack like Magic the Gathering is or something like that. There's much worse.
Oh, that is very true.
Like, at least you have to, like, assemble them. You may not paint them, but hopefully you paint them. But at least you don't have to, like, you just buy them and immediately use them. There's no instant gratification with these, which is nice. All right, well, I have introduced myself, but I didn't really say I'm playing
you
Rebels.
Did,
yeah.
Yep.
So I bought Rebels. We're going to get into what I else actually bought in a little bit here, or in our next episode, actually, right?
Yeah.
Core Box will be the next episode.
Right, yeah.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been playing, this is going to shock some of you, is I've been playing miniatures games for 20 years now. Mm. I realized I started playing when I was 16 years old, if you want to do the math on that. So I've literally been playing for 20 years.
I mean, I guess that's it depends good. On how you qualify miniatures games. Because, I mean, I got a box of Battle Masters way back in the mid-90s.
That
so
counts.
That counts.
I mean, I guess it counts.
I mean,
about in the same.
HeroQuest and Battle Masters back in the mid-90s. So
that's that dates
20
it.
Plus years for me, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Like, I started when I was 16 and never looked back. And I'd probably be a millionaire by now if I...
Lucien, I got in...
Oh, come on now. You'd have found something else to spend your money on.
See, I got in way...
Like 401ks and Roths.
I got in way later. Like, I collected Star Wars miniatures back in the day, but it was just more of a collecting hobby. I didn't actually play. I played nothing. I always intended to. And I have boxes of stuff that just never touched the table.
I played less than I would have liked, but yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't until a couple years ago that I got into, some of the games we play at the club right now, which is how I met most of you guys.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, to see Star Wars now and actually be able to put it on the table and play it, it's an exciting prospect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, totally. All right, so we've kind of...
I think we were going to talk about how the game in general, right? Our first,
yeah, what are our
impressions,
first impressions
about how we kind of felt about it so far. We've, kind of read the rules and
Jesus!
Taken
did you just... Fucking burp?
No, I got a little tickle in my throat. I'm coughing a bit.
Oh,
trying to hold it back.
That's what that's called.
That was a rumble. Damn.
Now this is podcasting.
Hey, you know what? This is our first episode. It's okay, guys.
Yeah,
you know what? True.
We'll
you
get
set,
better.
You set it at the ground level and you work your way up, which is the beauty of podcasting.
That is true.
We don't want to set the expectations. We don't want the Sistine Chapel, our first episode.
We're hoping by episode 8 we're a lot better than the original episode 8. So.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, too soon?
Well,
It's kind of like it's kind of like
that's
our
my
painting,
only one.
Though we've talked about this with painting too, yeah. Right? I mean, your first ones, you'll go back and we've talked about looking at our first models that we painted. You know, again, 10 years ago.
It's
or
a
more,
travesty,
and yeah. You're like, oh my god, did I really just paint that?
Were my eyes closed while I put this together?
Exactly. You're yeah. Like, well.
You're like, I should have gotten my eyes.
And you and you remember how proud you were?
Well, you were.
What a disaster!
And here's what I'm going to say to people out there that made this maybe your first game. I think that's a
good transition
key point. Actually,
yeah, this guy's like a
though,
professional.
Yeah.
Though we're making fun of bad painting, I will never discourage people from painting their miniatures.
Oh, of course not.
And you should damn well be proud of that first model you painted, because it's still a model that you've painted.
I absolutely am still proud of it. It just, you look at it and it's more of a looking at, wow, look at how much I've improved over the years.
You never kind of go back and laugh at your own models, but you can look at what you've done now versus what you did at the beginning. You're like, wow.
I did a lot better.
And I will say, even looking at like models from 10 years ago, the techniques that people have been developing and the amount of content available for painting.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's incredibly different from even 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, for really.
Yep.
Like, and we could talk about that a little more. But so back to beginning, A New Hope, per se.
I like it.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we should just dive right in, because we're only 10 minutes into this episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
Cool. What are we diving in about?
What are we diving in? We're diving into the core box, my friends.
Right away.
Fuck. Oh, well, yeah.
Well, I have a couple of introductory questions for you guys.
Let's
look at Legion as a whole, okay? I don't think any of us would buy into this system if we didn't see some meat and potatoes to it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you and I both collected the miniatures. You more than I do, because I saw that box, and I mean, you can do Carl's with that thing. It's ridiculous. But it's like, it burned out for me. And I think one question that, you know, especially when Legion was announced, that was curious to me is this going to stick?
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't. Yeah. So what do you think is the key components or differences about this game in general that gives it a little bit more teeth than you think other miniature games that Star Wars had in the past did?
Than other games?
Yeah. Not even just other games. I mean,
the other Star Wars games.
Because this IP is ginormous.
So,
and that didn't work.
So we talked about it, I think, on the way up, and I think one of the big things that's going to help this game over the earlier miniature game is the format in which it's being presented, right?
Yep.
And it's being developed in a similar way to the other miniature games now, which is that the hobby aspect is a major piece of it, right? And we talked about how I think the way that they're releasing the models in, you know, known groups, right? That was one of the struggles we talked about with the old miniatures games is
the magic,
you were buying
the magic
a booster,
model.
Right? You were buying a booster pack and you didn't know what you were getting. And it was hard, you know, when you build it as a, I need more stormtroopers, or I want another, you know, snow speeder, you can just go out and buy that model. And then on top of that, the miniature gaming community, I feel like as a whole, at least as much as I've been exposed to it, really appreciates the hobbying aspect of the game.
It's a vital part of it.
Very true.
So
yes,
the fact that it's giving people this opportunity to take Star Wars, and I think a lot of people are going to do, certainly initially, a lot of very thematic coloring schemes.
Yep.
We talked about how one of the really exciting things is that you're going to be able to take those and add your own little flair to it, right? So you could add your own, like, unit markings or, you know, squad symbols or, you know, some special something that makes them unique and stand out and still be yours, even though they're still stormtroopers on the table.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, right? That it's like the models that they released right away are kind of like a nice, I won't call them generic because they're not generic, they're still Star Wars models, but they're like an empty palette, right? You could do what you want with them, like you just said. It's like you got the Rebels, you could paint in so many different schemes and it's going to work either way. And I think that is really beneficial to it. I think the thing that makes this one stick versus a lot of the other Star Wars IP is because you're going to paint them. Like, it's the first game that I know of that out, like, I guess Imperial Assault, you could paint your minis, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different game set, right?
Like, I mean, you could also paint your X-Wing miniatures. They just came pre-painted and things like that. It wasn't necessarily
an
expectation.
They weren't marketing or trying to make it a game that you're painting your miniatures.
Correct.
This is now a game where you're painting your miniatures.
Yes.
This is actually what it's intended to be.
Yes.
Which,
no, that's true.
I mean, I honestly can say I don't think I would be nearly as excited if it came pre-painted.
I'm agreeing with her.
No,
it's like,
I don't think I would be into it. Because the thing is, the thing that's exciting is like all of us have the same models because there's three things to choose from right now since it just came out. But we all have distinctly different different armies.
And they ideas look, of what they're going to
yes,
be.
Yes, of exactly what our intentions are with them. And despite having the same physical models, we can stack them up against each other and they all have their own characteristics.
Yep. Yeah, we all put our own personal little flair, a little touch on the armies. Yeah.
I can't say I'm not excited to add my personal touch to it. But of course, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's certainly the part of me that's like, do I have the time to do this, right? Oh, no. I know that I'm probably going to be one of the slowest of us to get my stuff painted, and so I know it's a struggle. For example, when we're going to finish painting terrain and you guys are going to have all your units and half of mine are still going to be primed and, you know, base coated.
Well, I think this also...
You're playing Stormtroopers, it's okay.
I know, that's why we said that.
I mean, I think this is also a really good transition into first impressions just from gameplay, because I think we've gotten... not hundreds of games in, but we've gotten a handful in. I think what's helped us is because some of us have staggered our painting schedules, is we've done a lot of 2v2s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just as a learning game, you know, 400 each. We've done the 800 points where I can bring it. You can bring in the models you've painted and I can fill in the gaps for you and vice versa for you guys.
Yep.
And
I'm filling in a lot of Eric's gaps right now.
Yeah, Eric, Eric gets some freaking paint.
Oh, it's going to come.
Shots fired.
I finally have an actual
I shot first.
Team I want to paint.
God's sakes. So, I mean, I think that... So, what do you guys think, just from our first games? Pros, cons?
So...
I mean, if we're just talking about the gameplay in general?
Just general overviews. We don't have to go real deep diving.
One of the big things I know we've mentioned is we think the squad movement is really slick.
It's fast.
Yes. Yeah, being able move the one model and then just bring in the other guys up.
Yeah.
Speeds up that process so much from a lot of the other like squad based miniature games.
I think the only alternative that I've seen in other games is like the tray system.
Yeah.
And I hate trays.
I
hate it.
So does have a game that has tray like based units.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it. It's kind of a
It works, but I think this is better.
If that's what your game system calls for, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm a visual person.
It's not a skirmish game then either, though. It's a rank and flank game, which is not what it's intended to be, as far as I understand it to be, is that it's not we're not playing reenacting the Civil War. We're playing especially since it's such a shooty game, which that's an aspect that I like, is it's fast, it's shooty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think it's an intensely fast game, but it also has a lot of depth. Like
I would agree.
I think we'll get into this at some point because I'm sure it'll come up. But I think the rules are not that deep. Mm-hmm. I think the strategy is. There's a lot of little rules, but they're all on your card for the most part. The rule book is pretty small, and it's really just a rules reference. Like the rules, the getting started.
The basic gameplay is not that complex. I would certainly agree with that.
Someone needs to follow
turn off
the
your
theater.
Phone.
Adherence.
You didn't tell me that.
Shouldn't have to tell you that.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm not editing this shit.
Ah, it's okay. Who cares?
I'm not taking that out.
I like it.
Welcome to what thermal exhaust port is going to be.
All right, let's start over, guys.
Yes, he found his treasure. Starting from scratch.
All right. Hello, and welcome to thermal exhaust.
No. No.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about... I mean... I love the fact that I get to play Luke right now.
Oh yeah.
The fact that
last game where he just ran up and just smoked that unit.
It's not.
Of
it's not even if he's going to be awesome
so
or not.
Awesome,
it's the fact that, like, to me, I love. There's a video game out there where some certain big name characters aren't in the base set.
Yep.
Right. I'm not going to name names here. The fact that they put Luke and Vader in the box and are just like, no, we're going, you're going to do this. We're going to go to the right. You're going to go right to the meat of it, right?
Yep.
We're going to play.
Yeah.
You're going
to
play
you're
Luke
right.
and
they
Vader.
They didn't wait to release Vader, who everybody would have been waiting for to see what he was going to be.
They could have very easily put a lesser important character in both in the core set. And been like, they could have given us Jar Jar, and we still probably would have bought it because it's the gameplay is good enough that I think it warrants buying it whether or not.
And we're all fools.
And,
we
would have. I'm going to buy Jar Jar if he comes out. I'm guessing he's going to at some point.
Oh God.
Yeah.
There's going to be on the long release.
I'll pick him up as an objective for something you have to eliminate.
Well, granted, I will probably buy him, play him just so I can annoy you guys with Jar Jar.
and you'll find that we're mostly positive. But when it comes to Jar Jar, it's over.
We're going to put a flyer out there. We're looking for another host for the Thermal Exhaust Port podcast, episode 2.
Did I just miss him say that he likes Jar Jar?
No, not that I like him, that I want to play him just to annoy you guys.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Well, now that I know that's your intention, it's not going to annoy me.
Yeah. He's playing the terrorist. It's okay.
It would have worked if it was silent and we kind of talked behind your back. Like, is he really playing this for serious?
Shucks. Just questioning his motives the
what
whole time.
What is this guy? At least he's playing on the rebel side. We're fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we can honestly go
through.
I was going to say,
that's what's going to make it fun. We get to eliminate him.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's really fun is post-game talking about how dumb we were.
Yeah.
Like, if there's one thing you're going to learn from this game is that in the middle of the game, we're like, oh, these are hack. These are terrible. This didn't work right. And then we digest it later, like, oh, no, we're just dumb. Like,
yeah, we just didn't do it right.
I didn't understand what that unit was supposed to do.
The snow speeder is terrible. No, Eric, you're terrible at flying it.
Yeah, I will admit that. What a great, horrible unit.
You fly it straight at the AT-ST, right next to the unit with impact grenades, it doesn't go well.
I may have forgotten that the impact grenades were there at the time.
On the flip side, we were both talking smack about Luke's useless. Then all of a sudden, turn 4, he just comes up and wipes an entire full Stormtrooper squad, and
threatening two more. We're like, what do we do with
these
guys?
We have nothing to defend our families with.
Yeah,
it's over.
That was very true, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't even go through almost any aspect of the game and find something good about it. I think the order token thing is
great.
Yeah,
we definitely like that.
Really
I like some
it.
Of that.
We'll get into all of this
stuff,
too.
I like the command card aspect of it, where you kind of have the randomness of the tokens, but you have some ability to kind of, adjust away from that, or give yourself some control, some little bit of control over it potentially if you need to, which I think is a really cool aspect.
I think some of the other game systems we played where there's random order pulls and all that stuff, it's nice in that aspect for those games. And when I first saw the rule set, I didn't know if I would like it because I'm so used to pulling random orders.
You can say the game
most of us met through bolt action.
Correct.
Yes. And that dice pull mechanic it's sexy.
It's mm-hmm. it's still arguably my most it's my favorite mechanic in any miniature game.
When
I've ever
I came from Flames of War before I got into bolt action, so that was just one side.
Yeah.
And when the other person was going, I could go take a nap. I was not used. So that dynamic back and forth that is present is the reaction gameplay is engaging, regardless what your pregame strategy was.
Yeah,
definitely. Makes
so when
sense,
I saw the command cards, I didn't know. I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna translate. Mostly because I didn't know how it worked.
Sure. Well, and I definitely like the aspect that it is one unit to one unit, right? Yep. Because it feels more like a chess game where you're moving one at a time rather than, again, previous games I've played where it's you move your entire army and then they move their entire army or, something along those lines. And that, well, interesting. I like the aspect of there being a little more counterplay and strategy to which unit do I move when and how do I position it, to make sure that I'm, especially again in this game, covering a fire lane or something like that,
Well, and even when you get into the special characters, and it isn't just like, oh, I get to activate first. It's I get to activate first and murder you.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes,
depending on which
depending
one it is.
On it. Yeah.
But the other side of that is, and I think this is where it's different from bolt action, and if you're unfamiliar with bolt action, the way it works is every unit generates a dice. All the dice get thrown into one bag, and then you randomly draw a dice, and that unit activates.
Both players' dice get put in the same bag.
So
you could have one player keep activating units, where at least in this case, you're always going to go back and forth.
Right, which is different, but the other thing I like about this is that when you're playing your command cards, and you're like, I get the three unit, I can't remember which one that one is, assault?
Yeah.
So you get three units you get to assign the tokens to. That doesn't mean they have to go.
Right.
It's you get to choose when they go, when you want them to go, which I think is a very key...
Which we can dive into strategy at some point.
There's strategy on it, but I think we're highlighting the fact that it's not a deep game, but there's a ton of strategy.
Oh.
And I think there's enough... I think we were thinking that the core box was going to be pretty shallow as far as how much strategy you got.
I think we're just scratching the surface.
We are,
absolutely.
I think there's plenty of strategy, like deep strategy in the core box.
Yes.
That I think that it's going to be awesome long term. It's just going to be an amazing
game. Again, we've played half a dozen games or so, and I feel like every game we're going, Oh, yeah. There's something else that I haven't figured out yet, and I'm seeing even more depth or a different option or how this is actually going to interact with the other pieces.
Or you've never
there.
Seen Luke double charge and hit twice, and you're like, ooh, wow.
I got to understand what that when you play that card, how do I react to that?
I need to watch the threat on Luke after knowing that that might come out.
Exactly.
Yeah, like there's things like that where you're not seeing it now, but you're going to – you'll see something out of it later.
Mm-hmm.
So – I don't know. Do you have anything more to add to the stuff that like that we like about it? Because I mean, I like painting rebels, and I like.
Yeah. Do we want to touch on a brief hobby update?
Sure.
I mean, just in general.
I think that's something. I think, you know, for me as a gamer, when I listen to other gaming podcasts, hearing other people's hobby updates motivates me to get off my ass.
And, I'm not sure that we'll do it always, but I think it's a.
We're starting out.
Yeah. So what are we? Yeah. What are we start? What have we started doing now that we've opened our? We've all bought at least our core box.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we are. We know we're painting something. What are we painting?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let's start with you. What are you doing?
Oh, you're gonna. Okay. Huh? I think Kevin might have me beat as much as painted, but. So I have. I bought two core box sets because I'm at some point going to play the Empire as well. I might as well buy both.
Yep.
And I'm painting Rebels, and I think I have all my Rebels almost completely painted at this point. None of them are based, and I have three ATRTs painted already and not based. So my next big project is actually basing all my models. So I painted them all very Endor-ish, getting them ready for when Leia and Han Solo come out. Yeah. Because they're both in.
Pretty close. I know Han is.
I know Han is. I think Leia actually might be too. Hard to tell with Leia.
I thought Leia was coming out first, and then
Han as far no no
talking
as
about
far
just
as
like what they're wearing. Costumed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're both Endor-ish.
Yeah.
They look like they're commando-y. I can't remember if Leia might not be.
I definitely remember Han. I don't remember.
She's not wearing her smock.
She might be more fleet commander.
Yeah. She's not New Hope.
She looked a little Return of the Jedi before they left.
They're on the capital ships. Yeah, yep, I agree. Yeah.
And considering that she's going to be coming around at the same time as the fleet troopers, is kind of.
Yeah, I kind of imagine that they might be tying them together. My green stuff on a smock, just a, and a helmet. That helmet doesn't look very hard to green stuff on. So
I shouldn't.
Maybe that'll be my hobby.
That's too much hobby for me.
I don't know.
Too much hobby.
That'll be my next hobby update. Is probably how upset I'm getting with my green stuff work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah,
Kevin.
Kevin, what are you doing?
Well, I was dumb. I bought everything. Twice. So I got the two core boxes. Yeah. I bought two speeders. I bought two ATSTs. And of course, I had to get those ATSTs done as fast as humanly possible because I wanted to do all those things. I rolled through most of my Imperials. I got Vader done. I think I got one more core box squad of Stormtroopers to finish.
Yep.
But I just haven't gotten around to it.
Right.
I am right now working on the speeders because if we co-op at some point, I want to be able to have something Rebel to throw out there. But otherwise, I finished one Rebel Trooper and realized this is going to take 3 to 9 years of my life to do them the way I want to. So don't expect to see them until I have probably a 13-year-old. But I'm excited to hit the table then.
All right.
Yeah.
So as mentioned earlier, I've been collecting and playing a lot of Imperial Assault. So I had already started painting a lot of those models. So given that they're so close in scale... I've been using some of those that have already been painted as I'm working on my Stormtroopers so that when we get to, you know, some actual tournaments, I've got some of the actual models. The big holdup for me right now has to do actually with the fact that I have some, imprints that I want to do on the basing with green stuff, so... I've got to get that done before I can actually glue the models onto the bases so that I can put them on the table.
Well, and get them primed and everything. I think it's safe to say you are a stats guy.
Certainly the strategy of the game and the tactics is more my thing than the hobby.
There's been a lot of proxying.
You guys
for the time
certainly
being.
Have to be continue to
which
know.
I'm fine with. If you want, you can put out army men if you want to for the time being, because all of us just roll stuff and pray for the best. And you're on my side, so I'm glad that you're crunching the numbers for me. It makes my job a lot easier. Yeah.
Sure.
No,
I'm not okay with that.
I would say Rick will keep me in check. He'll keep pushing me to get more of the models painted, which is good because I do want them to be to paint it. I when I look at the games where we've played, where I'm looking at you know, Rick and Kevin, who have already got all their guys painted up on these tables, I'm like, it just looks so much better than, you know, the you know, gray plastic stuff that I might have, you know, sitting on the table. You're like, oh, well, see, I really got to paint this.
Nine times out of ten, I'm like Rick, where it's like, I just don't like putting on the table unless it's painted.
Yeah.
It's just for me, because dead plastic's boring to me. So for me personally, I have high expectations. For this game, though, I've been willing, like, spoilers, just because of timing, we did pick up Veers on our way up.
Yeah,
it came out on that Thursday. We're not going to go into the details of it. But for once, I was willing to break the rules for testing purposes to just put a blank model out there.
Yeah.
Hurt a little bit.
I'm surprised you didn't paint him in like 5 hours.
You have no idea how close I was to bringing him out. But I was like, I want to come up here and play. I don't want to paint.
Yeah, no, fair. Yeah. There's not a lot of painting being done.
Nope. No.
I think we missed or at least one of the key aspects for me that makes this game so fun, and I don't know if we actually said this, but I don't.
Let's go back.
I got a final thought on the why it's fun.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay. Well, for picking up the models, I picked up, split two core boxes with another member of our club. And when it came to the painting, I have issues with painting, as in I can't sit down and like an hour a night and just go over. I have to sit down for 6 hours and just paint something out. So I tried to do that with browns and whatnot. Decided I hate it. I'm going to throw it into green, some simple green to repaint, strip the paint away, and paint up something more in blues.
This is not a disclaimer about simple green. I have no idea what happens with these models in simple green. So don't actually do that to yourself. Well, test it, whatever, do it yourself, but we're not endorsing simple green.
Oh, sorry.
Do it at your own risk.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm leaning back. I'm taking a nap back here. Sorry. Yeah, don't. Okay. I had to jump in
just
on that one just to
make
sure.
We've had bad experiences in the past with simple green sometimes. A lot of the time it works just fine, but
these are new models, and I don't know what the actual material is.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems resiny, but it seems plasticky too. So I can't guarantee that I have a known result. Why don't you test it?
Let us know.
I want you to know.
We may still not endorse it on the podcast just because it's that's potentially damaging your models. It might be worth just painting over, depending on how much paint you put on them.
Yep,
I'll find out. But decided to finally, because I've been painting armies up in browns, grays, tans, that I'm looking at pictures, and decided to go with a Union army from Civil War and during the Indian Wars. So blues, light blues, dark blues,
Look really good. Yeah. That could be nice.
It's a good inspirational. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it works perfectly fine with Rebels. I think it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think it works across different theaters as well, right? We talk about the greens, the forest Endor greens, like work perfect in a forest, but do they really work in, you know, the snowfield? And it's like, I think the blues, you know, can definitely cross some of those.
When we play a Hoth board table, Kevin's going to lose his mind when I put a bunch of green dudes down.
Yep.
No, I won't.
He's twitching. He's twitching hard right now.
That's a whole different discussion. Yeah, we start getting to themey armies.
We can get back to that later.
But I could see that theme working very well across, like you said, a lot of different
things. I'm in the same place as Eric of like when I'm putting together both of these core box units, I want stuff that's universal as possible to be filler stuff. Because, I mean, you're going to have more expansions. You'll be able to have customized armies. But it's nice to have something that'll kind of blend with everything.
Sure, I just plan on buying another four core box sets. There you go. Painting a bunch
of
different
ways. Who has a disposable income now?
Not this guy. Yeah.
But one thing I am going to try to push my painting skills a little bit is the faces, because I mentioned earlier that I like the aliens in Star Wars, and there are some near-human aliens with basically just different skin colors and tattoos and stuff, so I'm going to try to do a little bit of that in some of the guys.
You have a bunch of Darth Mauls in the Rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
You should look at seeing if you can't find some other
head sculpts?
Head sculpts, for those other aliens, and just like modify the stuff you already have to create a more, you know, diverse squads instead of the like 1-in-5 ratio.
Yeah.
You got right
so
now.
What I've I've seen some people doing, I think this may have been in Reddit, I'm not sure if this is where I saw it or not.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They've been cutting off Imperial Assault heads.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And cutting off the heads of their rebels and putting the alien heads on there, so you have some more diversity.
Absolutely.
Is the scale going to be good enough? Are you going to put some Goombas out there?
No, I think it's close enough. The alien heads are pretty
big. Really close.
I think it'll be like it's going to be hard to notice with those alien heads because they're a little bit oversized to begin with.
They're within millimeters, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
There are some difference in how they scaled the models as far as heroic versus a little bit less heroic.
Again, a little bit of the green stuff can usually, fix those problems.
Yeah. No, I totally, it could work. So back to my last point about why this game is so fun, and yep. I'm not sure that we actually hit it. We kind of talked about it because of Star Wars, but I think one of the biggest reasons I like most miniature games that I play is that they're thematic, and this goes back to even painting.
Yep.
As far as like when Kevin and I were throwing stuff down and it were like everything's almost completely painted, you feel like you're playing, you're playing the freaking Star Wars movies. It's yes. super fun.
Yeah.
Especially since one of our other clubmates has actually bought he's bought some Hoth terrain, essentially, or not Hoth, Endor terrain. He's got the big redwoods and some bunkers.
Well, he bought the like a shield generator.
Shield generator, which is kind of like that's yeah. good anywhere. But that's yeah, yeah like he's got we got one of the table war mats and stuff. So we got some stuff, and you set down painted models on it, and you're facing each other, and you're like, this is super thematic. This feels like a movie. You're playing yep, a movie.
I guarantee that when we get a little bit further, we are going to put together some scenario, like actual scenarios where we're right. going to be recreating the actual yeah. battles as opposed to like, well, I'm going to bring this. It's like, no, this is what was in the army. This
well, and if I think if you think of Star Wars thematically compared to other systems.
Yeah.
Like when we sit down and play bolt action, it's a lot less shootier, mm-hmm. if that's a word.
We're
gonna go with shootier.
Yeah. Shootier is the word.
There's a lot more like, okay, cover this. All of a sudden it becomes harder. So you can have this grand system and roll 1,200 dice and you kill three things. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, wow, that was satisfying, I guess.
Yeah.
But this game, each unit when you have an AT-ST out there, you're like, oh man. Well, when Luke shows up, we took it for granted and then he murdered half our units.
Yep.
And we're like, whoa.
Well, the other times we had seen him, he'd ended up going against Darth Vader, and that was yeah, we can get into that later, but it was very different.
When you watch the Star Wars battle, you're not like, wow, this is really conservative tactics. You're watching everything explode except the heroes.
Actually, that's true. You're right.
So
yeah.
that when you put this on the tabletop and you're rolling dice, when you have your move and you throw nine dice, whatever it is, with an AT-ST, when you decide to target one unit.
Right, and you...
It feels so gratifying to throw all those dice and see all those hits and crits.
Yep, and, three or four dudes come off the unit.
Yep, and then you see him rip those models up, and then by turn four, you look over and see 15 dead Rebel troopers, and you're like, I did that.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yep.
It's so great.
Well, I think we're yet to experience that on the other side. Yeah.
I love this game.
if we're nothing else, we're your whipping boys here at this point. We're starting to figure things out a little
more. Yeah. We're going to enjoy your lack of leadership.
Just watch out once you figure it out.
I was going to say, I think every game you guys have been making improvements. And that's how we learn, right? Oh, yeah, we're learning the same stuff as we play too.
And we'll get in that into the next. Yeah. I think we'll actually save
if you could keep flying speeders into nothing, I would really appreciate that.
Yeah. Right.
Because we realized after that game... how terrifying they were.
They could be,
they very well could be. I've learned it, so we're going to fly them better next time.
And unfortunately, I learned my lesson, so no more trying to crash headlong into an ATST.
Yeah, not a good choice.
Guess we can't rely on those tactics again.
That's fine. All right, you think we're good?
Yeah, I think for the episode, so we're going to, I don't know, let's talk cadence here, because we might as well talk about how often we're going to release. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to aim for two shorter episodes a month right now.
Yeah. Something like that,
We'll see what we end up with. We might do one long episode for a month, and then maybe the next. Don't expect them every Tuesday at 12:05.
No,
we're not doing that.
Like we said, we're not taking this too seriously. We all have lives.
At least once a month, maybe twice a month if we can try and fit it in. Yeah.
But I mean, I think for fellow gamers, I mean, we all have our own podcasts we listen to. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rick, you've got another one that we all dive into regularly. We're here to be there when you're doing your hobby updates, you're driving in the car, whatever you need, and you need a Legion fix, we're your guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
That's the right answer.
Yep. Exactly.
When you're like, when I've run out of other Legion podcasts, you can listen to us. We'll be there for you. We promise. For what it's worth.
At the end of the list, thermal exhaust port. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we'll be at the end of the list, but if they list them alphabetically, they won't be, I'm sure. There's got to be one below us.
I don't know.
We might put an A at the front. It might be
a thermal exhaust.
A thermal exhaust port. just to make sure we're at the top of something. Anyway, I think, we're releasing this. Kevin, we're releasing this one on schedule, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Right. Well, may the 4th be with you then.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And also with you.
And Revenge of the 5th?
Revenge of the 5th?
No.
Is that too much?
Trying to squeeze that in.
I talk about that shit all the time now.
Really?
They might be dragging it out too. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our first episode. We'll come back to you, I'm sure, shortly for episode two.
All right then, boys. Let's blow this thing and go home.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Night.